may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Are you excited to be in church tonight? Praise the Lord. The traffic in town is out of this world. God help us. Amen. Thank you, choir. God bless you. Glory to Jesus. It's great to be here again tonight. I'd like to thank everyone who has been a part of the project. May the Lord bless you. It's been a great work. And it's good to do something big. Amen. It's not that I know you are doing something big. You know, when you are doing something small, it's easy to just do whatever you like. Glory to Jesus. It's been a season of faith. And I would not be shocked if everyone here begins to have a test of faith. Because you cannot understand faith without a test of faith. Abraham is called the father of faith because his faith was tested. I mean, if you learn all about faith and there is no test for your faith, then you are not learning anything because it will make no impact in your life. Can somebody say amen? So this test of faith is normal. The test of faith is expected. The Bible says, count it all joy when you go through diverse temptations and trials. When you go through tests, it says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Look at your neighbor, point to your neighbor and say, you will be tested. You know, many people don't like to hear that. Have you heard that prayer that is, you will be tested. Tell your neighbor again, you will be tested. Now ask him, will you pass your test? Everybody can shout at me, you're a strong man, get into the ring. Then we will know if you are really a strong man or not. Strength is not shown in the mouth, it's shown by action. We're going to talk more about that. That's the basics of some of the things we have to share tonight. Because we're going a lot deeper tonight. So tonight I want to quickly share with you on levels of faith. A few levels of faith that are connected to how to use your faith. How to use your faith. Last week and over the weeks, I rounded off on something and on an understanding that I want you to be aware of. I told you that there are three processes to faith. How many of you remember the three processes to faith? If you're here and you remember, wave your hand. The three processes to faith. Wave your hand. Not many of us. How many of you remember? You think you remember? You think. Don't worry, I won't call you. Just because not like some of us don't know it, but who knows? They might just go and call me. Okay, so I won't call you. Wave you. I just want to know if you think you remember the three. Okay. Okay, who knows and can say it? You know the three. You know it, right? You who again? You know it, you know it. You see, it's the same people that are raising up their hand. The same people that I've always known. There must be somebody different tonight raising up his hand. Who know? You know it? You know the three? Okay, please come and tell me. Can I get a microphone? Please come. Please come. All right, so let's... What's your name? Okay, Barry. Okay, so tell us the three steps now.
Hear, believe, and speak.
Wow, wonderful. Let's appreciate her. That's beautiful. That's it. Okay, so the first one is what? Hear. The second one is what? And the third one is what? Now, if you need to know these three things, like what A, B, C, and 1, 2, 3. And I'm telling you, you need to know them. Like, this is where it comes from. Like A, B, C, and what? If they wake you up at midnight and say, what are the three places you can say? Hear, believe, and what? Speak. If you have faith as small as, you will say to this mountain. Believe is important. Then saying it is important. And I told you about 2 weeks ago on the issues with saying. I don't know if you remember. And I told you that many of us misplace saying with boasting. How many of you remember that? And I told you that I explained to you what it means to boast. And when you speak faith, you are not boasting. I mean, you're not boasting in yourself. You're boasting in the Lord. And you are free to boast. Because we're ready. The Bible says you can boast. But it says boast where? In the Lord. When David was telling Goliath and he said, I will cut off your head from your shoulder today. He was boasting in the Lord. And that's how we should talk. The world says don't talk like that because it would look like no, but the scripture says talk. Talk. Tell people, the people around you, it's done. God has done it. The blessing is here. Don't be scared to tell them. Tell them it is done. Someone says your mouth is too big. Your mouth has to be big. Because God needs that big mouth to act. Be it unto you according to your faith. And that process of faith is hear, believe, and what? Speak. So God needs it. God needs it. God needs it. And I was supposed to tell you last week, I told you, don't confess fear. Don't confess doubts. And we talked about the story of Joshua and Caleb who went to spy out the city with other spies. And those ones said, we were as grasshopper in our sight, and so were we in their sight. And I told you, whatever you feel you are is what you'll be before others. You remember? If you feel as the grasshopper in your sight, that's how you will be in their sight. Say, I'm not a grasshopper. I'm just imagining those guys, how their statement was, as if we were as grasshopper in our sight. Who told them? Who told them they were looking like grasshoppers? It's a mindset. Because nobody told them. They felt like that. It's a feeling. We were as grasshopper in our sight. Change what you feel about yourself. Stop feeling like a grasshopper. I'm not a grasshopper. Imagine if David had felt like a grasshopper in his sight. David didn't think like that. He looked at Goliath and said, I will finish you. I mean, that was a pure faith talk. It was a pure faith talk. Looking at such a figure and say, I will deal with you. Ayayah. Whatever has to be dealt with in your life will be dealt with. Look at that situation and say, I will deal with you. I'm coming out shining. When we're young, we used to say one phrase in my language. They say, Ele miloma last. We finish this thing whether the devil likes it or not. Last they will congratulate you. No, are you thinking that you won't win? What you see is what you get. How many of you are looking at you and you know you will win? You know, you are sure. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen. Tell 5 people around you, I'm a winner, I'm a winner, I'm a winner, I'm a winner, I'm a winner. I will be celebrated, I will be congratulated. Glory to Jesus. People who talk with faith are always hated by people. Yeah. The Bible says the people were angry with Joshua. Let's talk about a few levels of faith. You see, because faith is in levels. I told you last week, according to Romans chapter 10, every man has been given First Corinthians, every man has been given the measure of faith. So you have the measure of faith, whether you know it or not. You have the measure of faith. Glory to Jesus. You have the measure of faith. As a matter of fact, it was that faith that helped you to give your life to Christ. Every man who is born again, who is born again today, was given a measure of faith. The measure of faith. As the word of God came, faith developed in you. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved. Through what? Faith. We are saved by faith. So in the first place, salvation came by faith. You can't be saved without faith. So don't let anybody tell you don't have faith. You have the measure of faith. You have the measure of faith. Glory to Jesus. We have the measure of faith. But as we grow, we develop our faith in different levels. We develop our faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So as the word of God comes into our lives, faith comes. The disciples asked Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus consistently said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, likening faith to a seed. What do you do with a seed? Huh? So that it will what? It will grow. So if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. So faith, your faith has to grow. And your faith cannot grow if it is not planted. And whatever you plant has to die first. I'm going to teach you the process. It has to die. Except the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. It has to die. Your faith has to die. You see, if you have not done anything where you got to a level and said, God, have mercy on me. Even the disciples said, Lord, help our faith. Help our unbelief. If you have not got to that level, you have not exercised your faith. God told Abraham, you have a child. Abraham laughed. Sarah laughed. That's our father of faith. If the father of our faith laughed, what will you do? They laughed. Say, hey, you're rich, rich. The angel of the Lord came to Zechariah. A priest of God, whose turn it was to burn incense. He was even in the inner court. The angel appeared to him there. And said, Zechariah, because they were well past it, said, you will have a child. Even though your wife is old, you will have a child. Zechariah, while burning incense. You are just joking. Hey, just talking nonsense. The angel said, because you did not believe, you will not be able to speak. Zechariah's form of being dumb was not the normal one. When a man is dumb, he tries to talk, but you don't hear what he says. Zechariah's own was different. Find out. They sellotaped. The angel sellotaped his mouth. When he came, he couldn't. Bible says he motioned to them. That's finished. Until the day the child is born. You know, let me tell you. This is an aside. Do you want to hear my aside? I study from scriptures. There are different kind of angels. There are some angels you don't mess with. No. Go and read the Bible. Some angels don't take nonsense. I one of them that I know is Gabriel. I've noticed Gabriel does not take nonsense. You didn't believe me? Gabriel seems to carry out the things that he was not even sent. So the next time you're asking God to send you an angel, say with the exception of Gabriel. Praise God. Michael is very nice. Michael is nice. Praise God. Okay, that's just an aside. You can study from the Word of God yourself. All right, so let's talk about the first level of faith. It's called great faith. Great faith. And I'm going to tell you a few things about this. Great faith. Let's read Luke chapter 7. We'll read from verse 1. Luke chapter 7. Let's look at a story there. Luke chapter 7. Can we get it on the screen? From verse 1. Now when he concluded all the sayings in the hearings of the people, he entered Capernaum. Next verse. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. Just keep on. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. You see, these are some of the things we need to learn from the Word of God. This guy was a centurion, and his servant, the Bible says it was his servant that he dearly loved, was sick. And then he came to Jesus and said, please come and heal my servant. And the people had to support him and said, this guy, please, you need to answer him, sir. For he loves our nation and has even built us a synagogue. Let's look at Jesus' response. And then Jesus went with them. He built you a synagogue. He was part of the building project. Let's follow him. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Next verse. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant to be healed. Hiya. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. I'm just imagining how a man who has not been under any anointing service can be talking like this. A man who has not, you know, I mean, when I studied this, I found out that your level of commitment to faith is beyond just coming to church. It's an understanding. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? It's an understanding. Look at, he said, for also I'm a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Therefore, Lord, don't come. Just say it. I understand the authority you carry. I understand the grace that you have. If I, as a man, can be telling people, go, and he will go. Sir, you don't need to disturb yourself. From where you are, I understand that the seas and the winds obey you. I understand that the winds hear your voice and does what you ask it to do. I understand that you are not the one actually healing. There's a spirit in you that does the work, that can leave where you are. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? And can go and perform the miracle. You know what that means? Brother, when you are praying about something, oh God, God can connect the Holy Ghost to go to that place that you are trusting him for and go and do the miracle right there. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Oh God, it's an understanding. And I'm going to show you, it's an understanding. Look at what it says. He says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him. There was a crowd following him. He said, here. He said, I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Not even around Israel that we expect to have it. I've not even found it. Great faith. Brother, this is what I really want to enjoy. I want to practice great faith. So let me tell you the first thing about great faith. Great faith believes in the efficacy of the word. Great faith believes in the efficacy of the word. You know, some of us just read the Bible, not really believing what is there. You know, that's the most amazing thing. And I pray that this doesn't happen to you. This is for me, it's tragic. If God's children study the word of God, all the things we see, and we still think is a story. You would assume everybody thinks, believes in the word, but it's not true. Please tell him about the word of God is real. Please tell him again, tell him again, tell him again. Oh, but I know somebody that believed and he was sick and he still died now. So, this is where the problem is. This is where the problem is. In fact, these are the traps set before us to begin to disbelieve the word. Study the word of God. There were many sick people in the scriptures. They were not all healed by God, by Jesus. The Bible talks about a woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. For she said in her heart, if I only can touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Do you know how many people would have had that same sickness? The Bible says she had spent all her living on doctors. They had collected her money. Then she made up her mind, this thing will not continue. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole. And she went to look for him. She went into a crowd, a place where if she had been caught, she would be stoned to death. Because she was unclean. But she didn't mind. See, until the issue with you becomes a do or die affair, you're not going anywhere. If you make it, if it happens, fine. If it doesn't happen, fine. Anyone that happens, that's where you will stay. It's not if it happens. It will happen. It will happen. Somebody say amen. Said, I will go and get it. It was at that point that she got it. I was studying today. I just love that story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hiya. The king, Nebuchadnezzar. You know, the Bible says he made a golden image. Golden image. Everybody must worship at the sound of the flute, the harp, the lyre, the timbre. Everybody must worship. They said, yes, sir. Then his boys went to arrange. They knew who they were after. When you call yourself a man of faith, the devil, there's going to be tests. Bible says they blew it. And those three guys refused. Even the king did not know. They went to report them. Say, sir, did you not say? He said, yes. There are these three boys. They have refused to bow. The king called them. Said, is it true that you have refused to bow to the image that I set? He said, oh, king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. You know, the king said, he said, let me see the God. He said, if you refuse to bow now, I will throw you to the fiery furnace. He said, and let me see the God that will deliver you. He said, oh, king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. He said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. He said, and if he does not deliver us, we still will not bow. Oh God. The Bible says the countenance of the king changed. The Bible says he was fierce. What kind of an answer? Nonsense. He commanded them, go and hit the fire 7 times more. The Bible says, because the king's command was urgent. Hiya. Even those, he said they should take, even those that took them there, the fire slew them. Those that they were supposed to throw them inside. The fire slew them. Then they threw the three inside. And they walked into the fire and stayed in there. And all of a sudden, God turned the fire into an air conditioner. Oh, God. Hiya. This is God in action when your faith is at work. Oh, God. The Bible says they were there. And the king went and looked. And he said, excuse me. Did we not throw three men into the fire? He said, yes. He said, but I see four men. Said, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. How did he know? How did he know? When God enters your case, oh God, people will know that this is God in action in your life. Can I pray for someone here? Oh, before the first half of this year is over, the Almighty God will show himself as God in your life. You know, there are things that when God does for you, people will say, this is God, this is God, this can only be God, this can only be God. Such a testimony is coming to you very soon. Sit down. Say the form of the fourth. The form. I love that word. The form. The formation of the fourth one is different from the three. The formation, the way the fourth one is looking. There's a possibility that the fourth one had wings or something like that. Yeah, the form is not looking like human, the normal Shadrach machine. This one is looking different. The fourth one, the form, is as the Son of God. Ah. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. Ah. The form. Ah, yeah. Oh, Lord, show up, show up, show up, show up. Show up. Show up. Let the people ask me, how did you do it? What's happening? How did you come about it? Tell God to show up in your life. Can you pray in 1 minute? Say, Lord, show up. Show up, Lord. Show up. That's it. Go ahead and pray just a minute and say, Lord, show up. Show up, Lord. Just show up supernaturally. Show up. Like never before. Show up in my life. Show up. Lord Jesus, show up. In Jesus' name, the Lord said He's going to show up in your life. So great faith believes in the efficacy of the word. Great faith knows that if God said it, He will do it. Are you hearing this? Great faith believes that the word can cut across barriers. Doesn't matter who it is. If God gave you a word for something, the word can work wonders. That's great faith. You know, when you find people saying, you know, I have to do this before it can happen. I have to, no, that's great faith. I'll still show you. You will see it. Matthew chapter 15. Let me share another story. Matthew 15 from verse 21, quickly. Matthew 15. I want to show you. Matthew 15. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Next verse. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. And the woman came and said, Jesus, my daughter is demon, please help me. Jesus didn't answer her. Jesus didn't just focus on her. Disciples said, send her away, she's disturbing us. Our life is too much. But he answered and said, I was not sent. Now he answered her. And the answer is not funny. He said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not sent to everybody. Woman, I can't answer you. I'm not sent to everybody. I know whom God sent me to. I know my ministry. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, this was about the first message I ever preached as a pastor many years ago. Maybe more than 20 years ago. Lovely message. I saw what worship can do that prayers cannot do. Jesus didn't talk to her. Eventually said, you know what? This thing is not for you. You can't have it. Bible says, she said, don't worry. She worshipped. Worship is powerful. Worship is very powerful. Worship comes from the heart. Worship is not singing slow songs. You know, because the church is already used to, let's begin to worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. When you talk fast song to slow, and say you have entered worship. No, it's not about how slow the song is. No. Worship is from the heart. Are you hearing this? It's a form of reference to the Lord. Sometimes all you do in worship is lie down. Scribble out a few words and say, Lord, I love you. The symbol of worship is what you see when people lie down. When people, you know, that's the symbol. But worship is far beyond that. If it's not coming from your heart, it's not worship. So you find that in church, sometimes people are singing, their heart are not in what they are singing. That's very tragic. We're in worship in church or praise in church. We're dancing. You're thinking about the rice you have not eaten. You're thinking about somebody that has offended you. You're thinking about the reaction you're going to give. You're deceiving yourself in the house of God. I don't believe in coming to church and going empty-handed. God forbid, it's a very bad thing. I should come to the house of God and go home with something. I should go home full. You understand what I'm saying? I should go home full. When we come to the house of God, there's an impact. Kadabaya. Hey, glory to Jesus. You should go home full. So when it's time for worship and then you just, you know, you're opening one eye to see who is looking and who's not looking, you're just deceiving yourself. Let me tell you something. When it's time for praise and worship here, I don't see anybody. A heart is... That's why I really don't know how I dance. Some people say, you dance this and that. I really don't know because I don't care. I just react to the worship. Sometimes in this worship, I could lie down, I could roll on the floor, I could lift up my hands. I just react to the worship as it comes. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When you're too conscious, you're not even worshiping. It's conscious of your environment, conscious about who's beside you. You're worshiping, somebody stepped on you and you knew, you noticed. How did you know? Your heart was not in the worship. And so people are still, you know, somebody, we're in church and then there's a prayer and somebody falls under the anointing. So it's you are not born again. You're not born again. I'm telling you. Like, what has happened now? Instead of you to fall your own, you're bothered about somebody. Do you know what happens when somebody falls on it? Some of you don't know. In a way, you don't know something, you don't know the impact. Yeah, nothing. I just overwhelmed. No, you can't fall because you're overwhelmed. If I ask you to stand up now and fall, will you fall? If I say stand up now, you have fall backwards. Will you fall? Won't you just sit and like this? You won't fall. You won't. I've seen things happen. So a few years ago, somebody fell under the anointing right in a meeting. He was SS. By the time he stood up, he had become AA. And you say he just fell for nothing. I have seen things happen. I was telling the TL College class on Sunday. I was teaching them. And I remembered... a miracle that happened a few years ago, how that somebody came in, said he had an accident. Doctor said it was not going to work again. And I told him to stand up. And I asked people to carry him up. We're in that meeting. I said, you were the one that carried him. I said, carry him up. And prayed for him. And he fell under the anointing. A man who cannot walk under the anointing again. Won't you be afraid? By the time he stood up, he was walking. As in, I tell you, you've not seen miracle. That's why you're doubting. Somebody just, you know, when someone just faints, our leaders was not one, two people just fainted. You know, no, I'm telling you, they fainted because I've not seen miracle that you didn't faint though. When they knew when the guy came in and the guy told before everybody that he said he had an accident, they put a whatever, he can't walk, he's not going to walk. And the person that walked, won't you faint? So when things like that happen, they are spiritual. Glory to Jesus. Be careful of being in places that bring in too much carnality into a spiritual house. Be careful. And I know what I'm saying. This is the problem of the church today. This is how the church in the United Kingdom or in many foreign countries finally came into carnality. Finally, when we began to become, we started becoming too carnal. We became profane, taking spiritual things with levity, says what was there? And yet in the scriptures, prophecies are real, visions are real, healings are real. And now today we say, does he have to? You see, we're beginning to dilute these things. It's risky. We have to be careful. In fact, now there's a caution on talking in tongues. Don't talk in tongues too much at a particular time. In the old church, it got to a level they were talking to each other in tongues. Talking normal talk in tongues. And they could understand what they were saying. Because as they were talking, God was giving them interpretation. Now, can you see why miracles don't happen like before? How will they, when we are finally coming to carnality? So God is trying to show you a vision for your brother in the church. God is showing you stuff. Now you're throwing it off because we become too carnal. You see? And yet God showed Peter visions, even told him who to follow. But now, God doesn't talk that way. God will speak to your heart and that's all. No. N-O. No. You know, I tell people, I say, if some of us do what Jesus did in his days, some of you will stone us. Somebody was blind. Jesus took... Wait. If I do that now, what will you do to me? No. Think about it. You know why they couldn't complain? The atmosphere was spiritual. Now the atmosphere has stopped being spiritual. I remember many years ago, not too long, I was at the Redemption Camp. We're having a special Holy Ghost service. And Pastor Debo said God asked him to wear 7 agbadas, dance with it, and drop it on the altar. And people came to touch it. And in the news, by the next morning, people were talking nonsense about it. How would they understand when they are not spiritual? How would they understand that the anointing can pass into garments when they are not spiritual? You see, that, and we will now join the unspiritual people to be saying the same thing. To be saying the same thing. Hiya, it's painful. To be saying the same thing and to be commending them. I say, don't mind them. All these pastors, they have turned to Jewish people. Oh my God, you don't understand spiritual things. Moses took a rod. It was a rod, not his hand. It was a stick and he stretched it forth to the river. And the Bible said, by a strong wind, God shifted back the waters. Hiya, it can still happen today. It can still happen today. Somebody shout amen. There are miracles that when I read about in the scriptures, sometimes I say, Lord, we need to see these things again. Jesus said, Peter, go to the river. The first fish you catch, open it, you will find a coin inside. And somebody says, those miracles are for the days of Jesus. No. The Bible says, Jesus says, greater works shall you do. Greater works. Greater works. Not smaller works. Greater works. And then some people say, greater works in quantity, not in quality. We like too much. Did the Bible say greater works in quality? Simple, greater works. But when they now found that they couldn't match up, they say it's in quantity, not in quality. No. He can do greater works in all ramifications. I wish I said all ramifications. One of the things I believe in still till today is 5 loaves and 2 fish feeding thousands. Some of you may not know how it happens, but I've seen it happen to me several times. Yes, you pick up something small to start up a project. You don't know how, but you think it's multiplying in your hands. You can't explain how. You'll be wondering, who gave me the money? You don't even know. But that money finished up the project because God was turning your 5 loaves and your 2 fish to feed a multitude. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Let me tell you something about miracles. Whatever you don't believe in cannot happen in your life. Whatever you doubt, you cannot experience. I wish I were talking to somebody here. Whatever you doubt, you cannot experience. Glory to Jesus. Sit down. Let me finish up this. Then she came and worshiped and said, Lord, help me. Next verse. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. This is Jesus answering the woman. He said, I can't take the food of children and give it to dogs. This was Jesus talking to the woman. If you were the woman, I hope you would not have vexed, because Jesus has simply called you a dog. So I cannot take food of children. But the woman had faith. No, faith, that's the next answer to great faith. Great faith does not take no for an answer. Great faith does not take no for an answer. The woman did not say, "Eh, you call me dog?" No. Said, "No, wala. Sir, even the little dogs, they eat the crumbs from their master's table. Even we, the little dogs, we deserve crumbs. So even if it's crumbs you want to give me, I don't mind." Before Jesus pronounced the miracle, he first of all commented on the faith. See? Next verse. Jesus answered, "Oh woman, great is your faith." That means Jesus trying to say, if she had answered wrongly, that's her business. She would have gone on without it. Imagine how many of us are suffering now because we responded wrongly to something that happened. Some of the things that came up after we activated our faith were simply questions from Jesus to know whether we really had this faith or not. Imagine how people have failed their test right now. I say, no, this thing does not happen like this. You know, we have to be careful of some of the things we hear. If it is God, it is good. If it's God, it's got to be good. You all better remove all those things. So if it's not good, it's not God. It will be God with challenges. Because without challenges, how will you prove God? How? Haven't you noticed that from the word test is where testimony comes from? Where will the testimony show up without tests? It's the test that breaks the testimonies. We're celebrating people today who trusted God for long for this and got it. I don't want anybody without tests. If you don't have tests, you can't even mentor me. "Oh, you know, I've never had a problem. Everything just going on fine." No. I want those with challenges who overcame it. And I found that most people who have callings or ministries in a particular area had tests in those areas. Great faith does not take no for an answer. "Oh, no way. The devil will not frustrate me. I believe in what God says. And it's coming to pass." Then you try this thing again. Then it looks like another answer came. You don't like, "Oh no, it's coming my way." Can somebody say amen? Amen. The opposite of great faith is little faith. So there's great faith and there's little faith. Let's talk about little faith. Now, my concern about little faith is that it's amazing. That's why we have to be careful, because amazingly from the scriptures, most complaint on little faith was on the disciples. People who were closest to Jesus. Well, really, it's true. Jesus told centurion, Syrophoenician woman, they had great faith. But his disciples, little faith. We have to be careful. Those of us who think we know too much, church people, we have been there. Have you noticed that when someone has been born again for a long time, he has been in church for a long time, he's doing this for a long time, there's a way they think that you are. That's why you have to be new every day. I'm telling you the truth. Even after they can come and meet and say, "It's not the way pastor is saying it though. Don't be looking at it that way. We have been in church for 10 years. You know how this thing works. So it's not like that. You have to calm down. Pastor says you have to reinterpret it for yourself." The one who knows not, he takes it all client and sink and believes it. But he's beginning to see it. It's not really like that though. I remember 5 years ago, the problem was very much now. It weighed us down. Even though we shall stay, we still had faith. So now the thing is not as they used to say it. So when you know too much. Lord, help my faith to be that of a little child. Believing it the way he said it every day. Just every day. Let's talk about little faith. A bit. Little faith. Matthew chapter 8. Let's read from verse 23. Now when he got into his boat, his disciples followed him. Next verse. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful? O ye of what? Little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I remember a story. I heard a story many years ago in a plane. The plane was, I think, leaving Nigeria. Then the plane was having an issue. Was, have you ever been in a plane and it's like, it's going to crash? Man, it's better head than experience. Praise God. I experienced one many years ago. I really activated my faith. Praise God for that day. Praise God. So I heard that story that the plane was, you know, and then in that plane was Bishop David Oyedepo seated. And the thing, you know, there's a way pilots will be talking and when the crew be talking, you know that we have entered our own. They began to talk and everybody was panicking. And one man just ran to where Bishop is. I know this man. He cannot die. Anywhere he's going, we will go together. And he held him where? Many years ago, he said, I know this man. Apart from what I saw, how calm he was, he knew him. He said, ah, I know you can't die. Let the old cuckoo wait where you are. That was wisdom. Wisdom. Easy way to survive. It's an easy way to survive. Look for the one that cannot die and stick with him. Praise God. Little faith is fearful. Little faith is fearful. When you are always scared about the future, scared about the result, scared about this, you are exhibiting little faith. Am I talking to anybody? Jesus doesn't like little faith. Look at it. He said, why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. Oh, God. Fearful. Every time. Be careful about how you feel all the time. Before. Your heart is always cutting. Like current. Our mothers, that when the children have not come home, you're already crying. Then the children will eventually come home. If God were to answer our fears, we are all in trouble. You have to overcome fear. When you exhibit fear, it's little faith. I refuse to be afraid. Say it again like you said, I refuse to be afraid. Doctor said, refuse it. Doctor said. I remember when I was very sick. The doctor said I had stage 4 kidney disease. When I eventually went back to my doctor, telling him, he was one that introduced me to him. He said he's a specialist. I now said, when he said so, why didn't I come back to him? I said, you introduced to him. He said, don't mind him, he's a foolish man. Because when I told him all the things he said, so what kind of, because he's a Christian, he was like, what kind of nonsense is this? You want to kill somebody? You know, it is not what happens that usually kill people. It's what they tell you. Say, you know, you have kids for kidney disease and, you know, I don't know what to tell you, but and your kidneys are still the best too. We are very wicked. Your kidneys are still the best, because if you have to start looking for kidney now, it might take us a while. You know, dialysis in Nigeria is very expensive. I was just looking at his mouth. Can't be foolish, man. What's this? Who sent me to you, Seth? He said, you know, we have to admit you. The first thing, I have to teach you how to inject yourself because you're going to start injecting yourself blood. Now there's no erythropoietin in your body anymore, so you can't produce blood well. He goes, just see what kind of nonsense. And that night, they put me under admission and put iron, whatever, certain and started passing into me. 2 o'clock the next day, I removed it myself. I left the hospital without telling anybody. You can't come and kill me. You just wake up as if this is not breathing anymore. It's not what happened. They say it's the kidney. It's not kidney. It's the words. Some words are very terrible. They produce fear. You know, you have cancer of this and this, the life expectancy for such is... Then you now start reading everything from Google. You know, some doctors are even better than Gogu. Gogu is worse. And you know, I used to do that thing before. Well, I've stopped it. Please stop it. I didn't do that out of fear, though. But I wanted to do it out of knowledge. But I've discovered that even it's not everything you must know. I've stopped knowing some things. I used to do that out of I just want to know, but now I stopped it. But some of every little thing, my head is paining me. Your head is paining you. We've talked about you. Possibilities of head paining you. Cancer of the brain. Is the devil that put it there? He wants to produce fear in you. You now start carrying it, wondering. Maybe it's that cancer of the brain that's doing me. That cancer of the brain that's doing me. Fear. We break every form of fear in the name of Jesus. Refuse it. Little faith produces fear. Let's rush now. We got to close. Number 2, Matthew chapter 14. Let's read from verse 22. Matthew 14, 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Continue. Are you there? Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "He's a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." I love this boldness. So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" You were doing it. Why did you doubt? You were doing it. Why did you doubt? You were already in the game. Why did you doubt? You were close to the result. Why did you doubt? You were close to your miracle. Why did you doubt? You were already receiving the promise. Why did you doubt? That's the problem with little faith. It isn't a gift for doubt. Doubt, doubt, doubt. Brother, I'm going to show you some stuff. Doubt is very risky. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? You've got to understand when God says, "I will do it," he will do what he has said. This is God we are talking about. Somebody shout amen. Amen. You have to make up your mind personally. I refuse to doubt. You have to refuse to doubt. Little faith walks on doubt. Little faith doubts. Little faith doubt. Number 3, Matthew 16 from verse 5. Matthew 16 from verse 5. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. I want to quickly show you great and little faith and then we conclude. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." You need to look at that well. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up?" Quickly, next verse. "Nor the 7 loaves What happened to you? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? You see, Jesus said they had little faith. You know why? He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Then they started talking about it. Why is he talking about leaven? I know why. Because we didn't take bread. Because we didn't take bread. Those disciples, I don't know how Jesus managed them. Those guys. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of Pharisees. He started talking among them and said, you know how people will be gossiping behind Jesus? Jesus was going in front. He thinks we don't know why he's saying it. Because we didn't take bread with us. Now telling us to be careful of where we are going. We should not eat the bread of the Pharisees. Thank God Jesus had word of wisdom. Jesus looked back and said, Why are you reasoning among yourselves? Oh, you of little faith. He said, don't you yet understand that I'm not talking about ordinary bread? Why do you lack rema? Why are you like this? Lack rema in your life? He said, can't you see? Have you forgotten the miracles of bread? I can't be talking about bread. Because even if you don't take bread with you, we can form bread where we are going. I can't be talking about normal bread. That's the problem with little faith. Little faith never remembers what God has done before. See, this is the problem. You know that most of the things we cry about for faith, we have actually surmounted such things before. But we never remember. When there's little faith in place, you will not remember that God has done it before. You see someone, a whole child of God, crying for something that God has delivered him out of before. Oh Lord, supply food. So have you not been hungry before that God brought you out of it? Some of you, every time you have malaria, you're always promising God to serve him well if he delivers you. Because each malaria looks like you're going to die. Lord, this one is different. Oh Lord, if you can deliver me out of this one, I promise you, I will do your will to the end. I will do ministry. Oh Lord, I'm about to die. Oh Lord, little faith. Have you forgotten? He delivered you out of one just 3 months ago. You're already crying for another one. Don't you know who you are serving at all? Are you listening to what I'm talking about? Tell your neighbor, stop it, stop it, stop it. Do you know? Do you remember that God has never allowed you to be embarrassed? Now it's like you're about to be embarrassed. Now you're saying, Lord, please, oh Lord, what you go do to me? Oh Lord, what you go do to me? Oh, you cannot hear. Because the last one did not happen like that. Oh God. Look at what David said. He said, the God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and of the bear, he would deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. The God who has done it before. Let me tell you my word to see every new year. The Lord who made me see 2019. The one who made me see 2020. The one who made me see 2021. What will he do in 2022? Hey! Oh! With all the troubles in the country, with everything people said, you still got into that year and you saw that year. God, who had done it before, he's about to do it again. Are you listening to what I'm talking about? How many of you know he's about to do it again? Lift up your hands and shout amen. If you ever got a financial miracle, another one can show up. If you ever got a healing before, another one can show up. If you ever were delivered from trouble, another one can show up. If you ever got a miracle you were not expecting, another one can show up. Stop this little faith thing. Oh God, will you do it? Oh Lord, I want to know if you're going to do it. This is why a lot of people seek fake prophets. Because they are uncertain. Now from run from pillar to post. And God is disappointed in us sometimes. Say, what are you doing? Are you disbelieving that I'm going to do it? It's an insult on God when you seek other means. Are you listening to what I'm talking about? Hmm. Do you know, I've seen Christians go to prophet who would belittle their faith. Belittle their faith. Tell them they are possessed. Tell them their mother's mother is doing them. Somebody is doing them somewhere. And if they don't do this, they will die on time. What nonsense. Have you thought of it? What nonsense. What nonsense. What nonsense. See, if you go out, I see accident. What nonsense. You know, every time I'm maybe doing something and devil tries to bring a thought to me and said this, you know, there's a way I always conquer it too. I always say, 1 week ago, you gave me the same thought. Did I die? The thought is bringing to you now. Have you discovered that it's not new? It's not new now. He brought it some time ago. And what he made you think did not happen. So don't let him bamboozle you. So it can't happen. No, it's nothing like that. I'm saved. I'm delivered. See the sickness now. See how you're feeling. I'm healed. Forget it. When I was sick, even worse than this, I became well. Forget. I remember when they said there was COVID in town. I made a remark that was very funny. Some of you may not like the remark, but I said, Oga, everybody has had it. Pastor, don't have COVID. I've had it. It has flown away. So you can't come and bamboozle anybody with COVID here. You can't kill a dead man. That's why it's difficult to fight Boko Haram. We will kill you. We are dead. You can't. How do you threaten a dead man? We'll kill you. Why did we come here? It's to die. But that before we die, we will kill many. Don't have COVID. You shocked the devil by saying, I've had it. It has gone. When it met me, it didn't find anything in me. Said the prince of this world cometh and found nothing in me. It came. Don't have it. Be careful of what you breathe. No. See, the nose mask have killed some people more than the COVID. Some people are now suffocating nose mask. Even in the car alone. Inside AC. He can't breathe. Devil is mad. He's gone. If he wants to trust anybody, he should leave Nigeria. Nigeria does not have his time. Have you noticed that's why the record is not? Because what we are going through is more than, it's not COVID matter. And anywhere someone knows he can't act, it will leave you alone. That's the devil's nature. He's not budging Nigeria. He told his court, forget Nigeria. You can't threaten them with this thing. They don't have your time. That's how to send the devil away. You woke up in the morning and you felt a pain somewhere. Sharp pain. Every arrow that was sent to me. I do feel pains like that. Box it off. Get out of here. Get out. It's gone. Get out. Don't think about it again. I'm believing your life. Because the moment you are thinking, the arrow. I've told you before, the devil cannot walk on you without your fears. I've learned that principle long ago. What you greatly fear is what. That's why Jesus is always concerned. Why are you afraid? Imagine these guys were with Jesus in the boat and they were still waking him. Hey, Master, we're about to die. Master. That's why Jesus was saying, what kind of faith is this? I'm even with you there. Oh, yeah, yeah. Say, I refuse to fear. Let me give you the final one. The final one about little faith. Matthew chapter 6. Sit down, let's take this final one. Matthew chapter 6. Let's read from verse 28. We talked about three things about little faith now, am I right? So the last one, number 4. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Next verse. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now we've got so close, the grass of the field, which day is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? What's the final one? Very important. Little faith always worries. Ah, man, some people can worry for Africa. As in, they are professional worriers. They worry. Today, they say that worry is worried about their worry. What has not happened? So, what's wrong with you? I'm just thinking. Worry. Always worrying. Always worrying. Only God knows what I'm going to eat tomorrow now. Only God knows what I'm going to wear. Worrying. And this makes you sick. When God says don't worry, you think it's for his own sake, it's for your sake. Because God knows your BP can go up. Imagine Jesus was always sitting and his devil was saying, Master, what is wrong with you again? Have you thought of it? Imagine his devil said, Master, what's the problem again? Will you be reading the Bible today? After the Pharisees fought him and were saying all kinds of stuff, Jesus will now go and sit again. The disciples come, Master, be strong. Master, be strong. Don't worry. Why are you worrying? Jesus can't worry. It is not in our DNA to worry. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about worry. Let me tell you something about us as Christians. We're not supposed to try to obey the word of God. We're supposed to do the word. When the Bible says, do not worry, don't try to obey, not to worry. Just automatically don't worry. Just do it. Be it. I can't worry because the Bible says I shouldn't worry. Are you hearing this? When you start worrying, you are bringing to yourself problems based on what you're worrying about. The Bible says, how many of you can add a cubit to your stature by worrying? How many can afford to worry? Stop worrying. You didn't notice that worry didn't do anything for Anna. Didn't do anything until she went and did the right thing. God needed a prophet. You're asking for a child. God is looking for a prophet. Synchronize. Okay, give me the child. I produce the child. You take the prophet. That was what she did. He said, okay, Lord, I agree. I said, I give him to you. God said, well done. You're not talking. And after that, she had many other children. Worry will not change anything. People will laugh at you, but worry will not cure anything. I've told you this before. Stop trying to allow for pity. Some of you enjoy it. Some people come and say, sorry, you. Hey. Now, wow. Wesha, God is on his throne. And some of you enjoy it because you like it. You like it when people are saying sorry to you. You feel cool. Like, okay, they like me. You like me. Stop worrying. I refuse to worry. something you don't like happens, go back to your home, put on a deck, put on Sinatra music, or put on Mike Abdo and dance your way. 30 billion, hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth. You know, when people come, you just look at, it's like, ah, a pastor is just, he looks like a pastor never has any challenge in his life. He mustn't look like that, really. How will you feel if I come to church one day and I do like this? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brethren, it's not easy. What will you say? Some of you look at me and say, ah, we have a new pastor. We have a new pastor. Does pastor have challenges? Yes, but I refuse to see it. Refuse it. Will challenges come or not? They will come, but refuse it. No way. You're not going to take a ride over me. Some of you, the child will now, it will command your mood. It will dictate your thoughts, dictate your behavior. You start getting angry with people. Everybody is like your enemy. God, let me know. Because you are worried. No. No. Tell the people around you, stay calm. What was that young boy's language to his mommy? Mommy, calm. Tell anybody, calm down, calm down. Yesterday when I got the news, I was concerned. I just sent a message to my pastor about it. My pastor said, calm down, we'll talk. I just poured water on my heart. I just calm down, calm down. It's good to calm down. It's very good to calm down. Worry will not do anything. Oh, Lord, we thank you. I refuse little faith. We need to start treading on great faith. How? Look at the things about little faith and refuse them. And pick up the things of great faith and start practicing them. And start exercising your faith. How does your faith grow strong? Exercise. That's how you grow muscles. If you don't use it, it cannot grow. It cannot grow. If you don't use your faith, it cannot grow. You have to use the faith. Make use of it. Utilize it. Do stuff you have not done before. Enter into trouble. Oh, did David not enter into trouble? What was his business? Couldn't he have gone home? Say, ah, is this the Goliath people are fighting? I will tell daddy that may the Lord protect you. Bye-bye. What was his business? He liked trouble. Even the brother said, I know you. I know you. You have come again. What's your business? He said, shh. What did I do? He said, what did they say? We have put whoever kills his Goliath. The guy liked trouble. He just liked trouble. At the end of the day, the Bible says he was walking the street with the head of Goliath with him. That was his trophy. Brother, we need trophies. You understand? We need trophies. Whatever you overcome becomes your trophy. You're carrying it about. People are looking at you and say, hey. He said, do you know that brother? That was the brother that went through stuff and came out of it. He said, do you know that sister? That was the sister that said she had no children for 9 years. Now she has 3 children. Do you know that man? Do you know that man? You don't know that man? That was the man everybody was saying, he's a poor man. Look at him. He has a big jeep and 3 houses. You see, someone, you need to carry your trophies. You understand what I'm talking about? You need to carry your trophies. Stuffs have got to happen to you, but God is bringing you out of them. Can somebody shout amen? It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You are coming out of it. I said, you are coming out of it. I said, you are coming out of it. How many of you know you are coming out of it? Lift up your hands and shout hallelujah. In the discovery word of, was it yesterday's discovery word? Discovery word of yesterday. Was it yesterday that had changed your name? Is it change your name? You are changing. Is it today? You are changing your name. Is it today?
Oh, I love that discovery word. You know, there are names that people have called you. You understand? They say, he's this. They say, poor widow. Hey, poor boy. Oh, small boy. Oh, this. No, brother. That name is about to change. I said, that name is about to change. That name is about to change. When people call you that name, tell them, that is not my name. I'm coming with my real name. I'm coming with my real name. My real name is on the way. Somebody shout amen. Exercise your faith. Legos kibaharnakaya. Read the word of God and believe it. I've shown you something today. Let me say this and I close. The problem with many of us faith is that we think we are not worthy enough to exercise faith. Oh, said I. He's not talking to me. How can he be talking to me? I'm not worth it. That's the problem. The woman whom Jesus called a dog was worth it. The woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, Jesus had never seen her, who was unclean, was worth it. Even the man who was paralyzed, who was a big sinner, was worth it. Jesus said, your sins have been forgiven. Not because the sins were the first thing to forgive, but for those around to know that he also had the power to forgive sins. Sir, I am worth every miracle that God is bringing my way. I am worth every miracle that God has promised me. I'm worth every miracle. I'm worth every miracle. For God commended his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, he died for us. How much more now that you're a true child of God? How many of you am I talking to here today? You understand what I'm saying? Look at your neighbor, tell him, I'm worth every miracle that God is bringing my way. I'm worth every miracle. Every miracle. Every miracle. I'm worth it. Don't say, God has signed not to heal me because of the things I've done in the past. No, don't ever say so. Don't say it was those my errors that God is looking at. Now God is punishing me. Don't say so. You are worth every miracle. Every miracle. Exercise your faith. And how does exercising your faith start? From here. Many of us don't know it. When we say talk in tongues, you feel that we're trying to make you say something. No. These things are spiritual. You don't have to understand how it happens. Jude verse 20. Quickly. Jude has just one verse. Verse 20. Let's look at it again. Are you there? Can we get it quickly? Look at this. Let's read it together. 1, 2, go. But you, beloved, look at what he said. He says, to build up yourselves on that faith that you got. How did he say you should do it? That's what he says. Praying in the Holy Spirit. This thing should not happen in church only. It should happen in your house. It should happen early in the morning, late at night, in the afternoon. When you're going to work, when you're coming back from work, when you are washing, when you're about to sleep, these things should happen. You know what? You may not know how it is happening. Someone says, do you watch the process of building muscles? When you're, do you watch the process? I say, is it growing? Is it growing? No! You just keep exercising. Before long, you find that you built some muscles. That's what God is saying. You just keep talking in tongues. Before long, you have developed faith to break down every power of the devil. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Let me tell you this. Every opportunity you have, especially in church, tongue like you have never tongued. See, I don't play with any little time of tongues. I don't play with it. If we are doing a drama rehearsal now, and they said, can we pray in tongues? I don't joke with it though. Don't think think I'll just print up because this was a drama. I will quickly push myself to one corner to quickly rato kata kata hila ziza kataya. Because you don't know what the tongue, that 1 minute tongue, is going to do in your heart. You understand what I'm talking about? Listen, if you are here and you can't pray in tongues, the answer to praying in tongues is faith. It's faith. It's faith. If you're here and you don't pray in tongues, it's faith. If you have faith, you will pray in tongues right now. And you cannot be a Christian. Let me tell you what Romans chapter 8 says. It says, and those who do not have the Spirit of God are not his at all. That means if you can't talk in tongues, you are not yet a Christian. Shiga de bokoti gahazia. Le gremokotiska anderia. Livro dos parnaski engrositaha. Lensimo katai. Le grisho tobre gadivrahanzi. Skemande, skemande, ecosita, econdaria taia, levrebocorizo, epradasiza, kerande, calibrogotos. Brother, can you talk in tongues right where you are? Spend some time and pray in tongues. Pray in tongues right where you are. It's healing your home. It's healing your business. It's healing whatever you do. Hey, shake it. Go ahead and talk in tongues. Spend some time praying in tongues. Are you praying in tongues right where you are? Are you praying in tongues? Le fros kiba anderia, le grados, karamonge liba shadai, baraskunde engrosuta, denande, denande, eklivarande, kizabadash. I wanted to spend some time praying in tongues. In Jesus' name we pray. I want to do something. I wanted to find your corner. We're going to do this for 3 minutes. I want you to find your corner. I mean by find your corner. It could be bowing down. It could be kneeling on your chair. It could be walking to a place facing the wall. For 3 minutes, I don't want you to look at anybody. I want you to pray in the Spirit. Connect in the Holy Ghost. Talk in tongues. Shagatakatakata bakata. Takatakata bayakata. Sakatakata balakate. You got about 1 more minute. In Jesus' name. Finally, we're going to do one more thing before we go. I'm not praying for anybody especially today. We are praying ourselves. One more thing. You're going to pray with a picture of the finished miracle in your heart. I wanted to picture the miracle, the finished product. Take it to prayers and begin to tongue over it. tongue over your finished house. Tongue over that admissions. Tongue over your relocation. Tongue over the healing. Tongue over the deliverance of your family. Tongue over it now. Tongue over it. Oh, thank you. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we are praying.